Imagine if I ask you what Psalms 119, 105 said, you would know that it says, "Your word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Because of that verse, we know that every time we open up God's Word and read from it, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, there is something in the Word for us. Something for us to learn, something for us to apply, something for us to do, something for us to say or think. It's filled with examples of how to do things or how not to do things. It tells us how people respond to sin, both in a good way and in a bad way. Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 6. It's a relatively short psalm, as I mentioned this morning. And in the pages of this particular psalm, or in these verses, we see how a person, now this is attributed to David, we don't know of course whether it definitely was, but we'll assume it is, how David felt about sin and its consequences. Now probably the most famous psalm of David that deals with this is Psalm 51, and we'll look at that, Lord willing, sometime in the future. But tonight we're going to look and see that sin can make one sick. Sin can make one sick. And then we'll see the remedy for that illness. Psalm 6. We do not know what particular sin David was alluding to. We don't know exactly the circumstances or the situation or the conditions. But it really doesn't matter. Because whatever the sin was, it was obviously resulting in some very dire ailments in David's life. Let's begin. I'll read the whole thing through once, and then we're going to divide it into three sections. First of all, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me, O save me, for your mercy's sake. For in death there's no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I'm weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. Number one, what does David do? He asks for God's mercy. He doesn't try and make excuses for what he's done. He doesn't try to weasel his way out of what he's done because he knows he's done something wrong. So he goes to God and asks for mercy. Whatever this is has caused him tremendous displeasure and tremendous illness, ailments, afflictions, suffering. And we see in there some of the ways that it's happened. So he asks for God's compassion. He asks for God's care. And he sees this. He sees his sin and then the sickness as being a result of God chastising him. Now, of course, we know that not all sickness and ailments are because of sin, obviously. But some are. I mean, sin does have consequences, and sometimes they're physical consequences. And so, for David, at least in this instance, he's fairly sure that his physical conditions, his physical ailments, are the result of some sin in his life. And so he goes to God, and he knows what kind of God he is, so he asks for mercy, he asks for compassion, he asks for God's concern. And he certainly acknowledges here that he has done wrong. Turn with me to another psalm, Psalm 118 this time. Psalms 118. And notice verse 18, and notice how similar this is to what David said back in Psalm 6. Psalm 118, verse 18. Psalm 118, verse 18. The writer there says, "The Lord has chastened me severely, but He's not given me over to death." There the writer acknowledges that, yes, God has chastened him. And we know from reading the Hebrew letter that the Bible says that God does chasten His children just as a physical father chastens or disciplines his physical children. But why does a physical father do it? Why does our Heavenly Father do it? It makes us a better person. So chastening has a positive goal. It has a positive goal. David understands that in this psalm, that this sickness, this ailment, can and should produce something positive in his life. So he doesn't look at it as something that has no point or no purpose, or that will only produce bad. Just the opposite. He knows it's going to produce something positive. He was the one that did wrong. It wasn't God. And so this result, this sickness, this ailment that's a result of it, will produce something positive if David allows it. And so that's what he thinks. Now, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and notice this. This goes right along with what we read in Psalms 118. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read two verses there, 11 and 12. This, of course, is where the Hebrew writer quotes those words in Hebrews from. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. The writer says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights." See, correction, discipline, chastening is to be a positive thing. It makes us, it should make us, its goal is to make us better. Make us better. So, David, even though this is a very difficult situation he's in and he's suffering a lot, he knows that this can make him better. So instead of looking down upon it, even though it's, as he says, it's a pretty bitter ailment, he knows it has the power to produce good in his life. And that's how he's viewing it. But he asks God for mercy in this situation. He describes himself both physically and spiritually. In other words, the sin that he's committed, whatever it is, has both affected him physically and it's affected him spiritually. Let's look at some of the ways he mentions that it has affected him. First of all, physically. He says, "My bones are troubled." My bones are troubled. In other words, he feels from this sin in his life that it goes all the way to the bones. Not some surface ailment, but this is deep. This is a deep pain, a deep ailment that he's feeling. It's like he's withering away. He says, "Now my soul is greatly troubled." Go down to verse 6. "I'm weary with my groaning." He says, "I'm crying so much that my bed and my couch are drenched." They're soaked. Have you ever cried, shed that many tears over something you've done wrong? See, that's how David feels. Whatever he's done wrong is causing him much sorrow. He's weeping and he's crying so much that he feels like his whole bed is just swimming in tears. Now, whatever the sin was, he was feeling its effects. He's starting to feel godly sorrow, right? From what we talked about a couple weeks ago. He's feeling godly sorrow. He did something wrong. And he's admitting it. He doesn't blame anybody. He doesn't blame anybody for how it's making him feel, because he's the one that's done wrong. He says, "My eye even wastes away." We know how, you know, it says the eyes, the window to the soul. So it says, my eyes wasting away because of grief. And even it grows old because of all my enemies. And it seems like from what he says later in this chapter or in this psalm that his enemies were laughing. His enemies were glad. They were happy that he was suffering. So he wasn't getting any sort of get well note from them. He was getting a note from them and said, aha, you're getting exactly what you deserve. So that's what his enemies are saying. They're glad that he's suffering. They're glad he's experiencing this sorrow and pain. But he knows God is concerned about him. So his soul, his spirit, his body, they're all hurting. He's losing sleep. Have you ever lost sleep over something you've done wrong? Well, if you're a human, you probably have. See, that's David. He's been losing sleep over what he's done wrong. Again, he knows that this misery and this pain and this anguish is because of something he's done. Now, he asks God for mercy, but that's not the end of the story. In the middle of the psalm is where he knows that he must do something about it. He has a resolve. He has a determination to do what's right so God will deliver him. Notice verses 4 and 5. Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. Save me. See, he is crying out for God's help. We talked about the paralytic this morning and how powerless he was. He couldn't take himself to the house to where Jesus was. David feels the same way. He's powerless. He's helpless to save himself. So he throws himself on God's mercy and says, please deliver me. Please save me for your mercy's sake. Because he says, it's in death that there's no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? David's saying, if I die from this ailment, if I die from this sin, then you will have one less servant in the world to praise you, to sing to you, to thank you. He says, because in the grave, no one can do that. See, no one that has passed on has the ability to come back and praise God and worship God. It's not possible. So David said, save me or deliver me. Help me. He is wanting help. Turn to Psalm 55 with me. Gives us some more insight to this. Psalm 55, the first couple of verses. This is also considered to be a psalm of David as well. A lot of the psalms that deal with asking for repentance, and they're called lamentation type of psalms, are David's psalms. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. David felt when he sinned. Notice Psalm 55, the first two verses. It says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. There again, David knows that there's been wrong in his life. David knows that and understands that. But he also understands that it's in God's nature to forgive people. It's in God's nature to forgive sinners, to receive them back. That's his nature. That's who he is. He wants people to repent, right? 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, that's the God that we worship, the God that wants everybody to repent, the God that wants everybody to be saved. Sure, he knows not everybody will, but he still wants everybody to. So David realizes that in these psalms, he knows God wants to forgive him. He knows God wants to deliver him, to receive him back. And so again, he goes to God and pleads to God about that very thing. In Psalm 30, we notice a similar situation about not being able to praise God from beyond. Psalm 30, notice verse 8 and crying and later. Psalm 30, verse 8 and following. It says, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit, to the grave, when I return to the dust? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. We don't when our bodies return. We're no longer in this world to praise God. We can't, in this world, praise Him anymore. So David goes to God again with that resolution, that resolve to do what's right, and he throws himself on God's mercy. David is powerless, he's helpless to fix himself. And he knows that. So he's humble and asks God to help. And then, because of who God is, he finishes this psalm by showing how much he trusts in God. He has confidence in God. It says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. See the confidence and the trust he has in God? He knows God will do the right thing. Will not the God of all the earth do right? Yes, he will. So David trusts in God, that God will hear and will respond because he's that type of God. He's a loving, forgiving, merciful God. And when people go to him humbly, they submit to him, they follow him, want to obey him, then he will heal them. Just like God, just like Jesus healed the paralytic this morning. That's how David is going to God now. He trusts in God and he knows God will do the right thing. He was confident. Over a few pages to Psalm 30. We read verses 8 through 10 a while ago. Notice there in verse 2 of that psalm. Psalm 30, verse 2. Says, O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. I cried out to you and you healed me. Then turn over a few more pages. Psalm 41. This is also considered to be a psalm of David. Notice verse 4 this time. I said, Lord, be merciful to me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. I have sinned against you. Psalm 90. Turn over some more. Psalm 90, beginning in verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. This is actually considered to be a psalm of Moses, one of the psalms we have recorded of him. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. See the healing? See the confidence that God will do that? The trust that they can go to God, that He will hear and do the right thing. Whatever the right thing is, David is confident that God's going to do what is right, what is best. David may not know what's best. God does, and so he goes to Him with that trust and with that confidence. He says back in Psalm 6, the Lord has heard my supplication, He'll receive my prayer. Now that's trust. That is confidence. And that's what he's like. He knows God will do the right thing. And maybe the most important point we glean from this psalm is that when we sin, God is not going to toss us aside. Not going to throw us overboard. He cares for us too much to do that. So when we sin, He gives us an opportunity. He gives us a chance to come to Him. And just like David, yes, David did wrong. He knew he had done wrong. And that sin had caused him to experience sorrow. But he also knew the kind of God he served. He was a loving God, a gracious God, a merciful God. And if David was sincere and repented and returned to God, he knew God would forgive him. He was absolutely convinced of that. So regardless of what we've done, when we've done it, the Bible says God will receive the worst of sinners if they come to Him as He's directed. Your word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word directs us to God. The alien sinner is directed to God through faith and repentance and confession and baptism. Those in Christ are directed to Him by repenting, confessing their wrong, and asking God to forgive them. And we need to trust God and be confident in God that if we go to Him as He is directed, He will have mercy, He will have grace, and those sins will be completely erased. And that's the story of redemption. And it's all possible because of Jesus Christ. Where are you? And what do you need? Do you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Tonight is a wonderful night to do it. You need to confess wrong. You need to ask for prayers or congregation. Tonight is a wonderful time to do it. Have the heart of David. Have the mind and determination and will of David. And come to God. If you have that desire tonight, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.